have served here and led the church, just feel like this is something we need to do. And why is vision or mission core value? Why are they important? Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Without vision, people perish." This doesn't mean that if you're blind, you're going to die, right? It doesn't. It's a different kind of vision and a different kind of perishing. Okay. A lot of translations say it this way: without vision, people are unrestrained or cast off restraint. That's a little bit different than what we know as the definition of perishing, right? Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs, was quite aware of the history of the Israelites. That when there is no vision for them, the people were unrestrained, okay? If there isn't a direction that we are set to go, then people are going to go in all sorts of directions. That's my translation of this, this verse, okay? Solomon wrote this proverb, and he wrote many of the proverbs that are in our Bible today. And if you remember, Moses was the leader of the Israelites, and he led them well. And then when he passed away, Joshua took over, and he led them into the promised land of Canaan. There was, I don't have time to get into all of it, there was definitely times that there was kind of a roller coaster of, we're going to serve the Lord, now we're going to serve Baal, other idols, we're going to make our own idol to serve. And so Moses wrestled with that, Joshua kind of wrestled with that when you're leading people. But overall, they served the Lord and followed Moses and Joshua's leadership as they declared, we're going to go this way. After Joshua died, there was no leader for the Israelites. They had their different camps set up, and you can read about it in Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua. They would have their different camps, and once Joshua passed away, Judges chapter 2 tells us about how all the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's not a good sentence to be written about you, right? Why did they do this? Well, they abandoned God, it continues to say in Judges chapter 2. They abandoned God, and because of this, the enemies that surrounded them were able to overtake them, persecute them. There's a lot of different things that went on. And Judges, in verse 16 of Judges 2, says, "Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them." God would send a leader with vision for the Israelites and say, we're going to do this. We're going to serve the Lord. And things would get good. And God would bless them, prosper them, protect them from their enemies. But then when that leader would pass away, and just like you and I, maybe, I don't know, they would turn away from the Lord. They wouldn't have a leader directing them for serving God, so they would do what was right in their own eyes, and they would go their own ways. They would become unrestrained. The cycle would continue year after, for years, and God would raise up a leader. The Israelites would prosper and be protected. That leader would pass away, and they would turn away from the Lord. In fact, four times throughout the book of Judges, we are told, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." That's another not a good sentence to say about you, right? What happens if you do what's right in your eyes? Well, you feel like you're right. But if you're doing what you think is right and not thinking of what it could affect the other person, and the consequences that come that could kind of the ripple effect that could come from that. And if you have millions of people that are living in their own way and what they feel is right, you're having chaos and you're having evil and you're having unrestraint. Each time they turned away from God, they were more corrupt than before. They went after other gods to worship. The evil in the acts of not just, they worship Baal or they worship, you know, Asherah, whatever it would be, but the things those people would do in their worship that they called worship was evil and what we would call sin. It was disgusting, it was immoral. And that's the picture I want to paint for you of this proverb that without vision, people are unrestrained. When there wasn't a king or a judge or a prophet saying, okay, we're going to go this way, we're going to serve the Lord only, get rid of all your other idols, get rid of all your other gods, we're going to serve the Lord, we're going to honor him. When that person was gone, people did everything they wanted to do. Joshua, who led the Israelites into the promised land, as I said before, before the time of Judges that I just read, he was up against similar issues with the people, the Israelites he led, and he spoke up against them. You can read it in Joshua 24. He speaks against them, warning them of the dangers of turning against God. And he declared, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that declaration. That's vision. Joshua led God's people well. He led his family well. They had direction. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do everything he wants us to do. We're going to follow his commandments, right? And God blessed their life. For a church, vision is important as well. When you think about what's the vision or what's the mission of a church, generally speaking, yes, all churches should have very, very similar goals, right? We want to help those who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. We want to worship the Lord. We're going to honor God, or else we wouldn't be a church, right? Okay, all of those things that we would think a church, a Christian church, should do. Our mission, our purposes are going to be similar. But it's important for our church to have our own mission, our own vision, because you, this body of believers, is different than a church in San Diego, California, or Timbuktu, Africa, right? We're different. The things that we can or would be effective, for lack of a better word, in our community, in our region, they're probably not going to work in another area of the world. Okay? They might have different needs than we do. But generally speaking, again, all of us should be honoring God, loving him, and following his will for our life. So with that, everything that this church does, all the ministries that we have, all the activities we put on, from the smallest, most insignificant detail to the biggest, whatever it would be, everything that we do, we say, we decide on, it should all be driven by our vision or our mission, our purpose statement. If it doesn't match up with that, with our vision, then we shouldn't do it, because it's not going to be, it's not going to go well. It's not going to be as effective. It might go bad. So discerning what that is, I was trying to think of a couple of examples because some people may think, well, what idea if it's, for God, like why would it be bad to do, okay? So if I had a guest speaker come and preach to you, I'm not going to allow anyone to come up and speak to you. We have a set of beliefs that our church follows. And so we're not going to have someone come up that doesn't agree with us and might preach against what we believe, right? Just like there's certain churches that probably wouldn't have me come and speak to them because I don't believe in the way they do. So that's one example. We watch who we allow up on the stage here to preach to you or have any sort of a influence on you. So if they don't line up with our vision, well, we don't have them. There's plenty of people that will line up with our vision and we'll have them come. And there could be other examples. I was trying to think of a more simple example. But anyway, there'll be things that come up and you have to line up. Does this fit what we're trying to do in Carrington, North Dakota? Okay. The past few months in our board meetings, we've discussed what we feel as the leadership of the church, what we feel God is calling us to be, what are our strengths as a church, what are our areas that we need to grow in, do we do well, or what are the needs of our community? And we talked through what values we have as the core of our church, and we spent a few hours on a Saturday kind of working those out and finalizing those. So I want you to know, I didn't just open a book and say, oh, that sounds cool, or oh, that would be nice, or we should try this one, okay? There's been prayer put into it, thought put into this. I will put a slight disclaimer before we present these to you today, is we were supposed to have a board meeting earlier this week where I was going to talk to the board about it, and then we had the funeral on the exact time, and so we pushed board meeting to later today. So the board, this is your first time seeing the final thing, but they had a lot of input. So I told them that if there's something we need to tweak, then we could tweak it a little bit. But I didn't change what the board met about, what we talked about, okay? So I want to present them to you today. And then today and the next four Sundays, we're going to break down each one. And our last one will be our missions and serving others, and that's a big part of our Harvest Festival, and so that's a good one to end on. So if you go to this one, so our purpose here is to love God and to love others, Matthew 22, 37 through 39. What's that verse say? Why do we pick that as our purpose statement? Can anyone tell me? Todd? Good answer. Anyone else? Someone asked Jesus this question, and Jesus said, what? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments. What are the two greatest commandments? So if you could ask Jesus, man, what are the two main things I should focus on? So that should probably be a church's mission statement. So our purpose is, we're going to glorify God. We're going to love God. He's number one, right? And then everyone else. That's you, all of us, those that we're trying to reach, those that we may never meet because our money is going to missionaries that are ministering to them. So our purpose, love God and to love others. And we made this statement. Bethel is a Spirit-led family of believers where you will be welcomed and loved. It is important to us that you all know that you're part of a family of God. a body of believers. We're not in this alone, whether this is your first Sunday here or some of you have been here for 40 years, okay? You are part of the Bethel Assembly of God, a body of believers, and we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we're going to welcome and we're going to love everyone that walks through this door. That's probably been a statement for several years. It's on a banner right by in a prominent spot out there, because we want people to know that when they come here, that they're welcome, okay, no matter what walk of life they may be in, okay, and they're loved. And then the next part's really important. Next, we are passionate about being transformed by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're welcome here, you're loved here, but we don't want you to stay in the spot that you're in. We should be growing. We should be being transformed is a great word. Glad we use that in our statement. We're passionate about it. We don't come to this building begrudgingly, like, well, my mom woke me up and forced me to be here. Okay, that was me every Sunday, okay, for a year. Why am I going to church, okay? So young people, it's our goal. If that's how you feel right now, it's okay. I've been there, okay? But our goal is that you would learn that you need to be here, and we can be an example of why we need to be here. Sometimes, I don't know if we can cut the recording on this, but sometimes I don't want to come to church on a Sunday morning. Just kidding. No, just kidding. Okay. And I'm the pastor. No, just kidding. Okay. So we want to be passionate. We don't want to just show up because we have to. We don't want to put on a men's breakfast or a ladies' Bible study or a children's, you know, Easter Sunday activity. We don't want to just do that because, oh, we have to. Hey, we want to be passionate. We want to do what we are passionate about. And what transforms us is not what I say. It's not what the board makes decisions about. It's not what anyone in leadership would tell you. What transforms us is the Word of God, because we love God, right? And we put Him number one. So the Word of God is one of our core values, you'll see in just a moment. We are transformed by it. It's not a typical book, okay? This is the Word of the Lord. And through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a living God, and we love that. And He's going to speak to your heart. You need to change this. You need to do this. You know, we call that like the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that He'll tell us when we've done something wrong and we need to make it right. He'll tell us when we should encourage someone. Hey, you should, this verse, really, you should go and tell this to Bob. Like, oh, yeah, but I don't know what Bob's going to say back. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit prompting you. And when you do stuff like that, you build up your faith, you build up their faith, and you're transformed by it. Okay? So we're going to list five core values, and everything we do is driven by these core values. If it doesn't fit any of these, okay, we probably shouldn't do it. Okay? I thought about buying, you know, to get to the youth convention faster, we could buy a Lamborghini and, man, we'd be there really quick. That's not going to fit our core values, okay? So go to the next slide. I'm going to read through these five, and then we're going to focus on this. This is our first one we'll focus on a little bit today. So we love God. We are prayerful. When we're making that statement that we follow God, we're going to serve God, prayer is vital. That's our communication to Him, all right? We can hear from Him through the Word of God, through times of prayer, but everything we do should be bathed in prayer, we used to say. Soak it in prayer. Don't make rash decisions. when you're thinking of anything in you're doing here, I would encourage nursery people, when you're back there, you're not just babysitting. Be praying over those babies. You don't know what their house is like. You don't know what their family situation's like. You're just praying. It doesn't have to be a deep, you know, powerful prayer. Man, Jesus, just bless them, love on them. Whatever you do, if you have an idea of, oh, this would be great, you know, we should have a men's, you know, cornhole tournament, beanbag toss tournament, pray. How can that bring in our friends? And when we're doing that, how can we bless the conversation that's happening? Everything we should do. Obviously, the worship, the Bible teaching, all of that, we should pray before it, pray during it, pray after it. We need to pray. We need to connect with God. Okay, next one. I don't want to preach too much. We're going to get back to that one, okay? We love His Spirit. We are Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit works in our life so that everything we do, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to preach on each one, but just wanted to say one thing. Several of you have talked about after a Sunday morning, wow, that your message really, you know, hit my heart. I don't know how you know what I'm going through. How I know is because I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit, what should I preach about? Maybe this is new to you, but as a pastor, I don't just open the Bible and, it looks like we're preaching on Proverbs 11, you know, 20, and I start, you know, just talking to you from up here. I've planned this out with God. God knows you, and He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to study. Some of you will say, wow, there's a connection between the Sunday morning lesson and what you preach, or on our Tuesday ladies' Bible study. It's God speaking to you, okay? I'm His voice. The person in the video is His voice. The teacher that's leading the study is His voice. But it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you. That's telling you need to do this. Hey, focus on this, okay? So we're Spirit-led. Next one. We love His Word. We are Bible-based, okay? That's really important and should be important for every church that believes in God, right? Okay? I joked with the board, but it was a serious question. When I've talked about, it wasn't in the Carrington community. This is in the Williston. I'll throw them under the bus. But people would say, oh, you're with that church? Is that a Christian church? Well, is there, in my mind, I'm thinking like, if they're not following Jesus, are they a church? Like, what's your definition of a church, you know? And so we are Bible-based. Everything we, even down to our constitution and bylaws of what our church is and what we believe, is based on the Word of God. It's not based on what Pastor Kevin thinks we should be, okay? Next one. We love others. We want community, okay? That's one word, community, just like the way you would think it would be. But also, we want unity. That was a huge part of the early church in the book of Acts. The way Jesus started the church and formed the church, He wanted people in unity. Okay, we need to work together. When people are unrestrained with no vision, there's no unity, and they're all doing their own thing. Okay, it can happen in a church. We should do this, and I'm supposed to do it on this day. Well, this person wants to do that on that day, and then they don't work together. If we had 20 Bible studies in this building on Tuesday morning, that's not going to work, right? We need to work together and in unity. But this involves anything that's with others. So everything we do as a potluck, that brings unity. Okay. This involves the ministries to specific age groups. Okay. We do kids' church because children need to know the Lord, right? And that brings community, it brings fellowship with them, that they feel, wow, we love it. Typically, we bring the kids up here to pray over them before they go to kids' church. That's a simple thing, but it shows those children that we value them. We're not just kicking them out for we can do big church, okay? We're investing in them a relevant lesson for them to learn about God, okay? So we'll get into that. The last one is we love serving. We will reach out. This involves everything of doing for others, whether it's helping in something in our community or our missions offerings, anything of bringing other people into the church, inviting friends. This is the part of outreach. It's our giving is important to us. We support, you know, over 20 missionaries, missionary organizations, okay? And so we'll learn about that. But I want to close with, we're going to focus on the first one. We love God. We are prayerful, okay? If you love God, you should be full of prayer too, okay? I think when I think you shortchange yourself when you say, I just don't know what to pray. Yeah, but just try. Just say what's on your heart. God wants to hear from you. Okay? When you make God number one in your life and you make that declaration, you make that vision for your life and for your family, I would encourage you guys to do this same exercise, that when you make those plans and you make that decision, okay, God is going to honor that. And you're going to find prayer is important. You can read God's word and he'll speak to you. You need to bring everything that you have in prayer to him. We will worship God. We will serve God. We will obey him as the one true God. Everything we say and do is going to glorify him. I pray that often when we, you know, dismiss for kids church, and that every leader here in this church, in this family, what we say and what we teach has to glorify God. It can't be any other agenda. It can't be any other, my opinion or my thoughts, okay? And we need to glorify him. As our purpose statement quotes, Jesus is saying, we are to love God above all. Then we are to love others. So to fulfill this core value of loving God and being prayerful, we must pray in all situations, in all matters, everything we do. Like I said earlier, when we're doing something fun, yesterday we had men's breakfast. That's a great time. Fellowship together, eat together. Steve brought a devotional. We should be praying about that, praying for the people that come, praying for the people that miss, praying for what's said there, coming together and praying for the needs of those that come. Prayer will be a priority in this church. If you don't pray, you better, okay? You need to pray. Worship team, when you're picking songs, they pray about their songs. Like I already talked about the nursery workers. Anything we do. If you come to work, we have work days sometimes, and you're cleaning windows or you're pulling weeds, pray. We're praying. We're praying for the people that are working together, and it's building unity as we do it, right? Every leader, I've already said that, that teaches a Bible study, leads worship, teaches kids or youth group, everything we do, we need to pray. To love God means to have a relationship with him. You can't have a relationship with God if you don't pray, okay? It's really hard. I've made that illustration before about dating my wife and how we got married. If I were to ask her on a date and never talk to her again, are we in a relationship? No. Okay? No. You can't say, I love God and I'm serving God. I'm going to obey. I'm going to honor him. He's number one in my life. And in a year from now, I'm preaching about this core value. And like, oh, it's been a minute since I prayed. Wow. That's, you don't have a relationship with God. You need to pray. If you want other people to pray with you and help you, that is an amazing thing. And so we need to pray with one another. That's biblical too. And it's very important that when someone else comes and prays with you. At the funeral the other day, a pastor that I've only met one time, that he was associated with Mark. So we're meeting with each other. He said, can I pray with you? Yeah, pray with me, please. And now we have that connection. Like, wow, you care enough for me. You don't know me. You don't know what I'm going through. But you're going to humble yourself and pray for another person. That's powerful in that moment. And to him, he's probably just thinking like, oh, it's not a big deal. I just pray. I just wanted to encourage you and pray with you. Okay, but you're building your faith together. You're building unity together. And you're showing God that you're going to honor him. Okay. In Matthew 15, 18, worship team, why don't you come up and we'll kind of wrap this up. In Matthew 15, verse 8, I apologize. Jesus is referring back to people who would just say they honor God, but then they don't follow through with it. He said, you honor God with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. If we're going to say we love God, we're going to serve God, and we need to do that. Don't just give, don't just make the statement, but your heart needs to follow him, okay? So each week I'm going to try to tell you what you can expect and what's expected of you. So what you can expect is that this church, everything we do is going to be centered on God, okay? I'm going to tell, there's a lot of you here today, and hopefully I can tell it again when there's those that aren't here today. But if you ever hear something from me or a leadership person in this church that's not centered on God, you need to talk to us about it. We need to have accountability. I appreciated one of the board members, I can't remember who it was, that said, well, if we make these, we need accountability that we're going to follow them, right? So if we're saying that everything we do is going to be, you know, fall under this vision, well, if someone brings up an idea, we have to have the courage to say, well, I don't know exactly where that fits. So maybe we should try it a different way or try something that would, right? And so what is expected of you is that if you are serving God and you're part of this body of believers, then the decisions you make, and the things you do when you're serving and you're helping in a potluck or at our harvest festival or in a Bible study or in an outreach in the community, that you're honoring God, okay? And you're serving him and you're representing him well. You're praying before, during, and after whatever it is that is you're doing, right? Stand with me as we close today. Heavenly Father, God, I just love you, Lord. I thank you for the direction that you've given the leadership team here. Lord, I thank you, God, that above all, Lord, we serve a loving God. You loved us first. That's why we love you. That while we were still sinners, you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, to set us free. You saw this this gap between mankind and yourself that sin had caused. Evil had caused this great canyon dividing us. But you sent a solution. You sent a Savior in Jesus Christ. And we love you, God, because you first loved us. I just pray today if there's people in this room that haven't made this declaration that we're going to serve the Lord. If they're maybe hearing this for the first time, that they need a Savior to forgive them of their sin and set them free from that, that they would have spent eternity in heaven with you, God. They want to do that today. Help them, Lord, as they pray out and confess of their sin and confess of their need for you and receive you into their heart and their life today. Bless them for it. Help us, Lord. Help us as a church and a body of believers in Carrington, North Dakota, to love God and to love others. So family, as we close with this song, I would just encourage